Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. You're listening to episode 285 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you this week. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Stop playing with the springs on your microphone stand. We bought you a new one last week.
I like it.
You know, just keep twanging the springs on it, which is
Stop
it, behave. Right, what's coming up on the show?
We have a jam-packed show for you, and it is in, of course, the Christmas season. And if you're looking for that fantastic Christmas tree, we'll be talking to Richard Simpkin from Essington Fruit Farm.
Yep, he's on the phone a little later. We'll also be talking to Tristan Pate about the Robin Hood production he has taking place from the Cherwell Theatre Company.
And music this week, it's a Shatter Effect.
Yes, they'll be in the studio playing live. And also, we'll be talking on the phone to Gala. We'll be hearing her brand new single, The Beautiful, too. And also, we'll be talking to Neil Birch from the Touring Consortium Theatre Company about how you could find yourself on stage as part of the cast of A View from the Bridge. But first of all, now, if there's one man that I know who knows how to write a Christmas song, it's Chris Eaton. And he joins us on the phone now to talk about 1914, The Carol of Christmas. Hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, mate. Thank you. Very, very good. Very excited about this new project.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because it involves your wife singing, but not only that, but a vast array of other people involved in what is going to be, I think, one of the classic Christmas songs.
Well, I very much hope so. I mean, it's kind of amazing how it's started to snowball and just in the last few days, Jason. I wrote the song earlier in the year. Really, it came from watching a documentary, a BBC documentary about World War One. And it really struck me in a way that it's never hit me before. And I think it's hit a nerve with millions just in the last month over our mistress and all the tributes that have been paid through the poppies down in London. It's a very poignant time to remember what we went through as a country. And what struck me as much as anything is that my family and pretty well every family that exists now in all our villages have been shaped and torn apart and brought together by war in the last 100 years. And you know, it's a perfect time to remember, but also to be hopeful about the future. You know, and as you know, I mean, I wrote Saviour's Day a long time ago.
I was going to say, you do have form in writing Christmas songs.
Well, over the years, yeah, for sure. But I mean, I love Christmas. I mean, Christmas is a very exciting, positive time of year, but it can be also a very commercial time of year. But the thing that excites me about 1914, The Carol of Christmas, which is the name of the song, is that it really isn't about the commerciality of Christmas in any way. I mean, it does tell the story, the familiar story that we all know a little bit of, about the Christmas truce that happened back in 1914 at Christmas, when for some incredible reason there was singing between the trenches, and the Brits and the Germans actually laid down their arms and came out of the trenches. I know you've probably seen the Sainsbury's advert already, yeah. Which mm-hmm. is kind of the classic. In fact, it fits perfectly with my song. We just couldn't afford the video, but it was, it was such an incredible time of obviously of faith as well. And you know, those young lads who didn't want to be there had a sense of what Christmas meant to them, and wanted to somehow preserve that in the midst of war. And that really struck me in a new way. So I thought, I've got to write about this, and I've got to do it in a way that hopefully pays complete honour and respect to those who we've lost and that we should remember, but also gives us a sense of hope and passion for peace, for the future, and allowing the Christmas message to give us that. It was all written a few months ago, but it suddenly started happening just literally about a month ago. I had an opportunity to meet with the RAF Benevolent Fund, who fell in love with the song and basically said they would love to perform it. So their choir, the Spitfire Choir, who is the only existing fully military choir in the UK. Everyone knows the Military Wives, of course, who got to number one a couple of years ago. And my sort of thought when I first wrote the song was, let's get the Military Wives on it. But then when I heard the Spitfires and I realised they were all serving military, and there were men and women, it suited the song, and it just was absolutely right for it. So they came down, we went to London, recorded it, and this is all for charity. 100% of all profits from this song are going to three major military charities, that covers the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. And they do such an incredible work in terms of rehabilitation of military folks who've come out of the military who need help and their families. And, you know, I think all of us are kind of aware of that. But when you work with them, Jason, you know, it gives you a sense of how important it is for us to do our bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm really passionate about this song, really touching the heart of the nation. We were given the opportunity, even a couple of weeks ago, to do a video when there was no budget to do it. Suddenly, we were given a chance to actually film a video inside Westminster Abbey in London around the grave of the unknown soldier. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, you just don't get these opportunities. You know, that was such a God thing to me that it was given to us.
Sometimes these things seem just meant to be.
Yeah, amazing. So the choir sang. Abby Scott sings on the song, which happens to be my wife. She's got an incredible voice. And she sort of, even though she's not military, she represents, if you like, the ordinary person who relates to what's gone on and who looks back to their memories and how the war has shaped their lives too. So, you know, and then there's William Insko, who's a choir boy that is also on the song. And he has been a finalist in the BBC Young Choir Boy of the Year this year. And then my original part has been sung beautifully by Flight Lieutenant Matt Whittle, who's done a lot of work for Radio 2 and bits and pieces over the years. And he, again, is a serving military serviceman. So it's really got the military at its grassroots, at its heart. And, you know, it's a song by the people for the people.
And it is available to buy now. You can get it via iTunes or through Amazon. All you need to do is search for 1914, The Carol of Christmas. And as well as that, please tweet about it, look at the video, share that, and you're using the hashtag 1914Carol.
That's it. And, you know, it really is all about individuals just engaging with the song. And, I mean, of course, we'd love to get it to number one. We'd love to feel that it really did get the opportunity of reaching people this Christmas. And the only way that's going to happen is for people to share it effectively. The video already, I mean, it's only been out 2 days and it's got over 10,000 views, which is really exciting. So it's proving that people are responding out there. And so we're just hopeful that, you know, we'll continue to spread the word. And Jason, everything that you do, you know, we really appreciate you guys doing what you're doing and, you know, in any way that anybody can help. And I would reiterate that, you know, every pound that you guys, whoever downloads it, is going to go 100% to the military charities. You know, a lot of charities are set up where the artists still are, you know, are getting a percentage and all the rest of it. But in this case, everyone has given up their slice of the pie because they realise how important it is. All the artists are giving their time for free and all the money is going directly into the military charities.
So all the writing and all the artist fees straight to charity, those three charities.
At the moment, there's no CD, there's no hard copy, so we are relying on digital downloads of the song. Already, I'm getting inundated with people saying, well, I want a CD, you know, I want to be able to buy it for Christmas or, mm-hmm. you know, how do we do that? So, but that opens a whole different financial can of worms, and we have to just be kind of astute about that and make the right decision at the right time. And you never know. I mean, it might be something that a similar company to Sainsbury's come along and say, we're going to help you out with it. We'll do it and we'll, you know, we'll give them away or we'll make them available for people to buy at the counter at the supermarket. So
it could happen.
Anything's possible at this point.
Well, there's still a few weeks before Christmas. And if you do want to find it more, that hashtag 1914Carol, pop that into Twitter and look for it that way. Go along to iTunes or Amazon and buy it there, 1914, The Carol of Christmas. And of course, at least on iTunes, possibly on Amazon as well, I know you can gift this to people, so you can actually send them a code so they can actually have it for themselves too and download it to their music collection. Chris Eaton, thank you for joining us. Thank you for the work on this one. And as I say, you are Mr. Christmas when it comes down to this sort of thing. You know a good Christmas song when it's flowing from your keyboard. So,
well, thanks, Jason. I mean, it's been a joy to be involved in this, to be honest. And, you know, it's brought me a lot of joy working with the military and working with all the people on this project. And I just hope that is, you know, in the grooves, if you like. It's in the spirit of the way it was written.
Well, certainly, I think it'll be thought-provoking and it'll cause those who listen to it to have the same feeling too. I will take a listen to it now. This is 1914, The Carol of Christmas. Ooh.
fight on a battleground. Every weary man laid his rifle down. Through the burning mist, you could hear the sound of a carol song on a battleground.
That was 1914, The Carol of Christmas.
Touring Consortium bring A View from the Bridge to Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre in the latter stages of March in 2015. However, before then, there's some auditions to take place. Neil Birch from the company joins me now. Hello.
Hello.
This is actually part of a series of five productions that are taking place at the Grand Theatre, involving some people who you're looking at bringing in from the local community.
That's right. We've been touring to the Grand Theatre ever since 1996, so 18 years worth. But this fourth production that we're doing in this programme of five has the opportunity of using local actors. We did the same thing with our production of To Sow With Love that came here in 2013. We used a local brass band as well when we were here with Brassed Off in 2014. And in 2015, with A View from the Bridge, we can use local actors again to act as our ensemble, augmenting our professional company, as it were.
So tell us a little bit about the production itself.
Well, Arthur Miller's great play, A View from the Bridge, is being directed by Simon Unwin, being produced by the Touring Consortium. We're playing seven different venues, and the Grand Theatre is one of them. We love coming here. We feel at home here because the Wolverhampton Grand Theatre is part of the Touring Consortium, so they belong to us. It will have a fully professional company, of course. We have a reputation for high quality, high standards. And what we're trying to do is to get local people, as I say, involved in that production. Wherever we can, we want them to come and see the play, obviously, get involved as an audience. But where they can participate as well, well. We think it adds something to the production and adds something to their own enjoyment.
So what sort of level of experience is necessary? I suppose if they've been in an Amdram group, it'll help, but you'll bring people through who've got a good set of amount of talent, but maybe who haven't done that much of this sort of thing before.
Yeah, they don't need to have done anything professionally before or been involved in professional companies, as they would have the opportunity of doing with us. What we need, really, are people who have some experience of being on stage and therefore won't feel too self-conscious, won't feel that they need to perform too much, because that's not what it's about. What we want them to do is to be on stage and not perform on stage. There won't be much rehearsal time, I have to tell them. There'll be one Monday evening rehearsal and then a Tuesday afternoon rehearsal, and then they'll be performing Tuesday night and then performing through the week. So it's a tough ask, but I think so far in the auditions that we've held in different venues, we've been surprised and delighted with the talent that we've had, and making the final choice has been difficult.
And the level of interest in this must be quite high. To be able to get involved in something like this would be quite a treat for an aspiring actor.
Oh, I think it's a terrific opportunity. It's very exciting for anyone who's interested in being on stage and being an actor. Whether they want to take it up professionally or just enjoy it as a hobby, it's a great opportunity for them to spend a week working with a fully professional company. A company who are used to doing high-quality productions on national, large-scale productions. And it's going to be so exciting for them. Certainly the company that we're involved with, To Sow With Love, felt the same. We recently toured a production of Cares as well, and that used a local cast. Those people that were involved in that had a fantastic week with us. The Brass Band did back in March. So, yes, it's something that we're used to doing, and we know that whoever is involved is going to enjoy it, and they'll learn from it. They'll get a lot from it. They'll get to work with professional actors, I say, very experienced, top of their game, working with a very good director. It's a great opportunity for them.
And the audition process, it won't be quite like The X Factor, will it? There's no teasing anybody and telling them they weren't good enough.
No, not at all. No cameras or anything. In fact, I'll be holding the auditions, and they will be one-on-one auditions. So they'll be coming onto the stage on their own with me, and I'll be doing a couple of simple exercises with them. They won't need to prepare anything. They won't need to learn anything in advance if they have some knowledge of A View from the Bridge, and that will help, but it isn't necessary. It won't take very long, maybe 10 minutes or so with each person. There'll be a lot of people that will want to take part, but I'm going to see everybody that wants to come an audition. So if you're interested, then just get involved.
And when people have done this, have they come along afterwards and gone, hang on, I want to get involved in this again? Are you really igniting a bug for some people?
Well, I hope so, yeah. I mean, get involved in all different ways. I have to tell you as well, Jason, that we have another production in the autumn of 2015, a brand new adaptation of Brave New World that will also have an ensemble, a community cast, local actors again involved in that production. So if they enjoy their experience on A View from the Bridge, then there's every reason why they might want to get involved in Brave New World.
And how far afield are people prepared to go to this? Because I assume that once they know that you're travelling, there are people from literally all over the country maybe wanting to get involved in a production somewhere like the Grand Theatre, because it's got such a rich history and a great stage to be working on.
Oh, we're going to 7 different venues: Nottingham, Cheltenham, Coventry. Of course, is quite close to here, so if they're that way along, then they want to get involved in Coventry, then we'll be using a local ensemble for that week as well. Darlington. And a couple of other places as well that I can't think of. But if it's coming close to you and you want to get involved, then this is your chance.
So give us that web address one more time.
www.theatrecloud.com. And that's also the place where you can find out a lot more information about that production and all of the other productions that we're involved with as well.
Neil Birch, thank you for telling us all about it.
Thank you, Jason.
So if you'd like to apply for a casting slot, please send a recent photo and a short paragraph about yourself explaining why you would like to take part to stacey@touringconsortium.com. That's stacey@touringconsortium.com. The deadline for applications is the 5th of January 2015, and auditions will be held on the stage of the Grand Theatre on the 20th of January.
Now, in the studio, we have some live music for a change this week, which is lovely. Shatter Effect.
And we've got the gang. We've got Robin. He's got a mouthful of water. Say hello.
Hello.
We also have Bex. Hello.
Hello.
And we have Ricky, aka the Human Mic Stand.
Hello.
Who's got a microphone and isn't using it, even though he's sat there with it. Say hello to that.
Hello.
There we go. We can hear him and everything. So, you are Shatter Effect. We're going to have some acoustic tracks from you from a new album that's not released yet that you don't normally play acoustically. Does that sound fair?
It sounds about right.
Bang on the money.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. So, first of all, what are we going to play for us first?
We're going to start off with Make Me Hate You.
Excellent Shatter Effect here in the studio, and it's sounding really good. Now, the last time you were on the Milk Bar was about 3.5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
We were babies then.
Yeah. And so what's
it's
been
nice to see they're still together though.
Although we haven't got everybody, have we? Who are we missing? Yeah,
we're missing Ed. He's at home watching Golden Girls.
No more information on that. That's fine. So what's going on with Shatter Effect just at the minute? Because you've had a really busy time of it in 2014.
Yeah, we've just signed a record deal, our first record deal. We're really excited. So we've been back and forth between here and London, recording album with the singles on, ready to roll out next year, meeting lots of interesting people and... yeah, getting our first album together, which is something we're really proud of.
It's been a manic few months, really, if I'm honest. Since it all happened in April, I believe, we must have been up and down those roads so many times, with so many late nights, having to try and go to work the next morning, and in the process of all that, try and write an album as well. But
that's mostly not about driving to work whilst you're half asleep.
Pretty much. Yeah,
the service stations know our names personally now, don't they?
Yeah, I think we've been to everyone across the... of course, the motorway.
And there's been some other work as well, because you actually feature on a charity single this Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes, we got asked, just shortly after we signed the record deal, we got asked to feature on a version of The Farms All Together Now, which is going out this Christmas, aiming for number one, rivaling X Factor and Band-Aid and all the other curse words. And yeah, we worked with some absolutely awesome people. People on the track like Engelbert Humperdinck, which my nan is really excited about. And so am I, to be honest. The Proclaimers, Suggs from Madness.
Gabrielle.
The Clash, Holly Johnson from Frankie Goes to Hollywood, so many people.
Gorgon
you could
City,
you could
King
be here
Bandit.
For ages. Really.
Did you take your autograph book?
Oh well,
you had to be too cool for school.
We're still trying to be really cool with
we
it. But, we got a little Instagram snap of a couple of them just to prove our, you know,
you were there.
Yeah,
prove that we weren't just making it up.
Yeah, that we weren't lying.
You can be heard on the track though, and you're also in the video too.
Yeah, you get little snippets of us along the way. So it's all out on Facebook now. The video is officially released. So check it out on YouTube and Facebook and
the
everything.
The track itself, you can pre-order now, but it comes out on the 15th of December, like the week leading up to the Christmas chart. Yeah, that'll be a big push on.
Internet retailers.
If you want to pre-order it now, you just have to text Get Peace to 84222 and it'll automatically go to your mobile device on the day, but it's released officially on the 15th. You can get it from Amazon if you want a hard copy and we'll happily sign those for you.
That sounds good to me. Yes. But we'll take a little bit of a listen to the song. Which bit are you on? So
I am embedded throughout.
And I tend to be just in the
woven
chorus.
In. If you watch the video, you'll see where I come in and out, but the chorus is my shining moment.
Now, this is formerly a song by The Farm, now it's The Peace Collective and All Together Now. enjoyed that. It's, yes. a good, it's a good version of the song, and sometimes charity singles can be, should we say, a little weak. However, when the guys did the track for Justice Collective a few years ago, and obviously now the Peace Collective, it absolutely brilliant musicianship and some great stars, including yourselves, on there.
Thank
absolutely brilliant.
Much.
And congratulations on that one, and doing your bit. We like that.
I mean, it's all for a good cause. All the proceeds for the charity go to British Red Cross, and obviously it celebrates the 100 years since the Christmas Day Truce.
Yep.
So it's a good cause.
The producer who's worked on the album, we've got two producers, Simon Britton, who's part of the label that we signed to, but also John Moon, who's produced the single as well. He's worked on our album as well, so we're quite looking forward to hearing that back as well at the minute.
Should we've had it back in drips and drabs at the moment, and it's getting to that exciting stage where we're just looking forward to getting out there and having people listen
finished.
To it
and touring it.
I was going to say, I bet it's going to be even busier next year, like promoting it and touring
we can't wait. As soon as we've got it and it's ready to go, we're going to hit the road again. It's what we enjoy the most, to be honest. We love our time in the studio, we love rehearsing and everything, but gigging live shows are our moment shine, and we love it.
The first single will come out probably February, maybe into March time, and then the album will come out at the end of April, and we'll just be leading a couple of singles into that, and then obviously like Bex is saying, just on the road then, hopefully
tour,
for the rest
tour,
of the year.
And tour.
Well, you guys stay there, we'll have more from you in a bit. We've got another acoustic track exclusive for us here in a bit. Okay,
yep, brilliant.
We're now joined on the line by Richard Simkin from Essington Fruit Farm, where they have the fantastic opportunity this coming weekend for you to cut your own Christmas tree. Richard, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
All right, thank you.
Not only do you sell Christmas trees, but also if you want a real tree in your front room, you can come along and select it and take a hacksaw to it yourself.
That's right. We do that the main weekends before Christmas. We take trailer rides down to the field just on Saturdays and Sundays, 10 till 3. Bring your own tools, no chainsaws allowed for obvious reasons. And then you either dig or cut your own, you bring it back on the trailer and we measure it up and you pay for it according to how big the tree is.
Ah, what about if somebody cuts something down and then they get it back and they think, oh no, I don't want to pay that much?
It never happened yet. I've never put the work into cutting it. They've already chosen the best tree in the field, of course, haven't they?
I suppose so. And it's charged by both the foot high and the foot wide, or how does it work?
Well, it depends. There are two prices depending on what type of tree it is. The spruce, which is the traditional Norway spruce, blue spruce, the traditional sort, is priced around about £4 a foot. And then the firs, which are more expensive, take a lot longer to grow, more difficult to grow, are priced at around £7 a foot. So you identify which tree you want, and then we just measure it on a pole according to the height and the type of tree.
That's not bad then, is it, really? That's not badly priced at all.
And at least, because when you often go and buy a tree, it's wrapped up in that plastic stuff.
Yes, you can't see what it
So you
looks
don't see
like.
What it's going to be like, do you?
No.
That's right. Well, the ones that we've got cut, because you don't have to cut your own tree, we're open every day up to Christmas Eve. The shop will be open for all the other things, like the meat and things as well. But we'll have Christmas trees ready cut on sale. So you don't have to cut your own tree. You can take the easy way out if you like and just come and select one. But we don't have them wrapped up. We wrap them up. If you want them wrapping, we'll do that after you've bought it. But they're all there on display, unwrapped, so you can see exactly what sort of tree they are.
And which one's going to be the best? Or are they all good for not dropping pine needles and things like that?
Well, the firs are very good at not shedding the needles. But the traditional Norway spruce has got the best aroma. And if it's the scent you're after, then you can't beat the Norway spruce. And they are the cheapest, of course. Mm. But the firs are a lovely, luscious green tree with silver underneath the needles. And they don't drop the needles. So as the years go by, particularly the ones that buy them early, are tending to go for the Nordman firs and the Fraser firs. Mm. Whereas the closer you get to Christmas and the shorter amount of time it's going to be up, there tends to be a switch back then to the traditional Norway spruce when you get closer to Christmas.
So, because you want it to last, don't you? And as you say, sometimes, I mean, I remember the one Christmas we had one, I don't know what sort it was, but it barely made it to New Year's Eve. We had to keep turning it round because the branches were bare.
The secret is standing it in a water-holding stand and keep it well watered.
Ah, okay.
And when you buy it, if you've cut your own, it won't apply because you know it's a fresh cut. Yeah. But if you buy one that's already cut, if you've got the patience to saw an inch off the base of the stump so that you've got a nice fresh cut, then you stand it straight in water, you'll be staggered at the amount of water that it drinks. particularly in the first few days. And then that's the only thing that has any effect at all on keeping the needles on. Keep it standing in water. Just like a vase of flowers, really. You wouldn't put a vase of flowers in by a radiator for a month, would you, in no water?
We did have our fire on quite a lot that year as well.
And in its own way, it is an environmentally friendly way of doing this, because it's taking carbon dioxide out of the air. You'll be growing a new set of trees each year. You'll be planting, ready to harvest. So yeah. it's a nice way of doing it. And you know what the tree's going to look like. It's a natural thing to bring into your home. And you also have the advantage of being able to do some more shopping down at the fruit farm whilst you're there.
Exactly, and the restaurant will be open, so you can have lunch or tea or coffee or whatever and go away with some homemade mince pies.
It all sounds very festive.
Yeah, somebody wants to be there now. Remind us where we can find the Essington Fruit Farm, apart from it being in Essington.
We're off the A460 Wolverhampton to Cannock Road. We're signposted from Westcroft off the road there. Or get on our website, essingtonfarm.co.uk, and you'll get all the information you need from there.
Richard Zimkin, thanks for talking to us. Have a great Christmas, and go and enjoy cutting down a few more Christmas trees.
Yes, thank you very much.
Cheers. Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Time for some more music now, then. This is Carla and The Beautiful. She's very beautiful.
She is. And she joins us on the phone from the USA now. Hello.
Woo! Hi. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good.
So Gala's a name we've regularly seen in the charts over the years, and with a style of music that's very recognisable. But tell us about your influences.
Well, actually, I met one of my best friends who is Italian, and she now lives in Brooklyn also. And she said, Gala, do you know what is my first memory of you? We were in kindergarten, and I knocked on your door, and I came to play at your house, and you came to open the door holding a Beatles record, a vinyl. So, and I remember coming home and say to my mom, The apple, because on the vinyls there was a green apple, and when they played vinyls, my parents, I would look at the apple going round and round, you know? So I wanted to see the green apple, which was the logo. That was more like my childhood, and adolescence, it was Prince. Prince and Wendy and Lisa, of course.
And of course, in 1995, we had Freed from Desire that was released. And I'm sure at that point, you were influencing a lot of people in the music that they were producing as well.
I hope so. You know, as an artist, I always look at other artists. And what I do is just, it comes out of me. It's an expression of myself. But I don't think, I'm going to influence people. I live my life, and what comes out creatively is what comes out. And I'm happy if I did influence people. I see it now, basically. You know, I see a lot of young kids that I meet, and they say, that song, guys. My first kiss, or, you know, that makes me very happy because, you know, at the time in dance music and in pop music, and still now, a lot of artists in pop music don't write their own lyrics, melodies, they don't write their own songs, you know, so it is different when people come to you and say, I love your song, and you wrote it, when someone else wrote it for you.
The new EP is out, and you've worked with Todd Terry on this one, so tell us about how that collaboration came about.
It's funny because when I grew up, I loved that track, Missing, and I think it influenced me because it had, for the first time, it was like deep lyrics, more rock lyrics and melodies, and then a house beat, which is basically my two souls. I listen to rock, I'm more of a rock stage presence when I'm on stage, but then I also come from the club, so I love the club. And so growing up, I loved Todd Terry's sound, and I was here in New York. I went out dancing. I go a lot to, you know, check out new clubs here in New York, and I met him in a club just like that, and I went up to him and I talked to him and I say, I'm a big fan, and I just headlined at the Winter Olympics in Sochi. I want you to check out my show. He checked it out, and then we met, and then we just hit it off, you know.
Is it going to be an up-and-coming album on the way?
This is not magical and maybe not so exciting for the audience to hear, but creating an album for independent artists, you need a lot of budget, and I don't have that. I work on my own. I created my own record label called Matriarchy Records that's based in Brooklyn, and I do everything on my own, from PR, booking, managing, promo, online, Facebook, Instagram, working, writing the song, recording the song, and recording the video, directing the videos. So I co-directed my own videos. And so it's a lot of work. And that's why people ask me always, it's just singles. And why isn't there an album? And I'm like, you know, most pop records these days are put together by a team that has a million writers and producers. They select the best songs and put them into an album. And that's how Rihanna's record got made, or many other famous big pop records, and that's not the way I work. So every single that I release is like an adventure, and it takes months to put together the right remixers, shoot the video with like film student from New York and stuff. It's an adventure. And I remember Fan checked my video 2 years ago, Lose Yourself in Me. And when it came out, it took me 1 year to put together the remixes, the video, everything. And then a fan first comment was, very good. When is the next one? I'm like, damn, you don't know how long that took to put it together. Because people are used to so much, you know, releases. And I would say some artists right now are like Fanta and Coca-Cola. They're like big factories, and I am making homemade lemonade, and I'm making it with lots of love and passion, but it takes time.
Do you prefer to do it that way because you have more control over what you produce?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a funny story about this, which is, you know, I was working with this great director. He shot a lot of Kanye West videos and big videos for big artists, and I wanted to work with him because I liked what he did on one specific video, and I wanted to meet him. I met and said, please, let's make a video together. I don't have the budget at all, but let's make a video. And he said, well, I don't have time. So for 2 years, I waited for him to have a little bit of time to do something creative and not for the money, let's say. And so I sat down with him, and he said, listen, I'm going to do this video, but you have to promise me that no record label and no manager are going to be on set. And I'm like, I absolutely promise you that because I don't have a record label and I don't have a manager, so you got it. So we'll have the absolute freedom to do what the hell we want. And true, you're exactly right. That's the positive aspect of not having people on set or, you know, in the studio, because you do exactly what you want to do.
The EP is out now. There are remixes on there. It's a fantastic song, as we just heard. If you do want
Thank
to buy
you.
That, where can you get it from?
You can find it on iTunes, Amazon. You can listen to it on Spotify if you don't want to pay for it. And you're a bad person. I'm kidding. I live on Spotify. So Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. You can watch the video. It's a fun video. I shot it on a rooftop here in Brooklyn because my record label is called Matriarchy Records. And I was hoping when I created it to have more women work. So trying to hire as many women as possible. Because what happened to me is that in the music business, I keep meeting men, booking agent, men, head of labels, men, A&R, men, musicians, mastering guy, engineer, so many. And the singers, yeah, can be female too, but you meet less women when you're in the business for many years. And so I said, I want to create a record label that hires women mainly. And so I tried to do that on this last video, and I hired this young student. I was scared to death till the end because she was very young. She's like 23-year-old, and she's a girl from like Italy that came here also in New York, and she studied film. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's give her a chance and let's make this video. And she did a great job. I think the video is very simple. You know, it's a low budget video, but it's very sweet and cool, you know. So the video is on YouTube and is on Vivo right now.
To find out all the details, all you need to do is go to any of those Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Gala yes. Sound on Tumblr. But it is Gala Sound, GalaSound. You can put .com on the end of that and find the website where you get all the latest news, and well worth it because you're producing some fantastic work, and we look forward to maybe working our way through some of the back catalogue of singles you've released over the last few years as well.
Yes, thank you.
Gala, great
thank
speaking
you
to you.
Much.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Great speaking to you. Bye-bye.
Zoe, we're back to the band.
We are indeed.
You haven't as yet said, I love having a bit of live music in the studio.
I almost did at the start.
Look, go say it now.
You know I love having live music in the studio, Jason.
And the guys from Shatter Effect are still here, Bex, Robin and Ricky, in full effect. How did the album come about then? You've already said you were struggling a bit because you were dashing up and down the motorways, but you've got to pick up some inspiration from somewhere, and is it influences or how do you work it?
I'd say we weren't necessarily influenced by anybody in particular, but we're definitely inspired by bands that we enjoy listening to do what we do. I mean, our sound is difficult to put into a genre, and we find it very difficult for anyone to categorise us, which is going to be great when this album comes out. but it's kind of your rock, electro, synth, dancey, pop. Indie pop. So obviously I draw my influences from like 80s electro synth artists and bands. So obviously going on the single with Frankie Goes to Hollywood and people like that was awesome. But yeah, we get our inspiration from everywhere, everyday life, bands, family, friends and just situations. So yeah, we've done our best.
The writing process with us is probably a little bit unusual, I think, because we all have so many different influences and things that have inspired us over the years. And we just spent, it was definitely like at least 3 months during the summer, every day spending at least 6 hours together mm-hmm. until God knows what time in the morning, where we would write this album, until we got it to the point where we were quite happy with the demos, ready to take down to the studio.
Yeah, we've physically seen the sun rise during one writing session where we were there from about 8 o'clock on the evening, and we stayed until about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning in the summer, and it was just intense, but it had to be done, and hard work's paid off, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, to prove it, let's hear another one of the songs from the album. What have you got for us this time around?
We've got Finest Hour.
I count an account of the future, counting the time as the time passes by, running through tunnels and searching for light just for now. This is your finest hour. trapped in the cold of me. She is light, I am the shadow queen. Under the weight of love's burden we sink. We try so hard, can we swim?
Absolutely brilliant.
Very nice.
Loving it. And we're going to hear hopefully more from you next year. Once the album's out, we want to get you back in, okay? Is that all good?
Yeah. Of course.
And we want to hear the singles too. So give us all the details. Where are you on social media and the like?
ShatterEffect.com is where everything's at, really. And then the Facebook is, you just search for Shatter Effect and you'll find us. There's not too many people called Shatter Effect in this world.
That's good. And then Instagram, would it be Shatter Effect?
Probably is Shatter Effect.
Yeah, okay.
Like we said, if you go to ShatterEffect.com, it's kind of a hub for everything, so you can get from there to everywhere.
It's all linked.
Everywhere you need. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, we'll follow you back.
That's sweet.
But it's not a promise.
No, it is a promise.
Make us want to follow you. Give us something exciting to look at.
Exactly. A reason is always good. Well, guys, thank you for coming in. Great hearing the music and good luck with that. And again, congratulations on taking part in that fantastic charity single as we head in towards Christmas.
Thank you.
Robin Hood, the Panto, arrives in Banbury, courtesy of the Cherwell Theatre Company. They brought you Aladdin last year. This time round, Tristan Pate is here to tell us all about Robin Hood. What's going on?
What is going on? Well, you've caught me in the middle of a rehearsal, so there's rather a lot going on. We're just taking a break from some rather hard work. We've been working on the epic battle at the end, Panto fans. There is an epic battle. But I'll tell you, let's go back to the top. So, Cherwell Theatre Company, this is our 10th production at the Mill Arts Centre. So 10 years we've been producing a pantomime for the people of Banbury. And this year we have gone bigger than ever. We have commissioned a completely original script written by myself, Penny Tasker and Neil Hobson, other members of the company. We've also gone for original songs by myself and arranged by our brilliant musical supervisor, Adrian Banks. And we have our biggest cast ever. We have 5 special actors and then a group of 30 young people who are working with us. So that's all the noise that you could hear in the background a minute ago.
That's a lot of people.
It is a lot. It's split into 2 casts, mercifully. So there'll be 15 in each cast and they'll alternate performances. So it's absolutely bigger than ever. And it's just, we're going absolutely homegrown. Everything you'll see in this Panto is original. We're not using a single piece of recorded music. We've made all our own stuff, and it's an entirely group effort. So, yeah, that's what's going on.
Yeah, people travel all over the country to see different pantomimes. I know I'm hoping to get along and see three or four this year, but you're actually on from the 10th through to the 18th of January, and it is time to book your tickets, isn't it?
It certainly is. They are going very, very fast. Yeah, we're slightly unusual in that we start in January, but that's a nice antidote to sort of grey January post-Christmas blues, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The theatre that we produce for the Mill Arts Centre have a Christmas show for very little children on just before us. It's called The Ballad of Rudy. So if you're in the area and you've got very small ones, under fives, take them along to that. But then we'll be there to beat those January blues for lots of, and it's worth saying we stuff in a lot of performances in that sort of 9 days. They are starting to sell out. We've sold most of our daytime ones. We have a couple of the weekend and evening performances left, but yeah, you need to get on and get them booked because they're going to go.
Yeah, so it's surprising how many people do go to pantomime after Christmas. Like you say, I think it is a bit of to cheer themselves up, I think, because all the fuss of Christmas is over and they want to carry on for a bit longer, don't they?
That's right. And, you know, I've heard of some pantomimes, you know, perhaps in bigger places and bigger venues than us, running on until February or March, which seems nuts to me. But if there are enough people who want to go and see it, you know, it's just a great time of the year for theatres to make some money. That's and serve the public, of course. But most subsidised theatres really make a vast wad off the panto, which then funds all the other work they want to do for the rest.
It keeps the arts alive for the rest of the year, and maybe some more obscure productions, the kind of stuff that you often get up to as well.
No Bertolt Brecht in this pantomime.
Well, it's original as well, isn't it? If you've rewritten everything and everything's like from scratch, then it's not going to be like what other people have seen before as well. So
that's right. I think we've got a bit of an advantage on that side. So yes, I should have probably just made everything sound very mass market, which it is, and that's what we want it to be. It is a show for everyone. But no, we're trying to be a little bit subversive and a little bit interested within that. So Robin Hood, to me, is a great socialist parable. You know, we're not going proper Marxist on the whole thing, but I think there's something to be said about it. And our production especially has, you'll be delighted to hear, I'm sure, great feminist overtones. We have some fantastic actresses that work with us, and we often think that women are underserved in panto, so they're often asked to play the dull princess roles that don't have very much to do, or just kind of wet, drippy people. So we have got
a few fighters,
bunch of ladies. Our version, we have the sisterhood, which is Maid Marian's gang, and they effectively taken over because the merry men are so useless, and they're getting the job done. So we're using our ladies well as well.
That's the way we like it. So if you do want tickets, 01295 252 050, that's 01295 252 050, or you can go online to themillartscentre.co.uk. that's themillartscentre.co.uk. and if you want to see photos and see what Tristan's been up to, you can actually pop along to cherwelltheatreproductions.co.uk or their Facebook page, Cherwell Theatre, and you'd have a look at the stuff that's going on there. And you even tweet at you, @CTC_productions.
That's right, we're tweeting silly facts about the show as often as we can. I think we've done nearly 30 of them now. So if you want to get ready for some quite terrible puns, which is what panto's all about,
that's the best bit.
And bearing in mind you've written this as well,
exactly. So I can guarantee you, Jason, there will be a lot. There'll be, as far as I'm concerned, a groan is as good a reaction as a laugh.
So, in your own work, what are you up to next year? Because 2015 is probably going to be just as busy as all the other years.
It's a very busy year indeed. So I've got some stuff going on. I'm playing some bass in a second orchestra for a production of Hairspray, which I'm very excited about. Just a very small one. It's nice to be doing some music. But also, I am in January effectively taking on artistic directorship of Cherwell Theatre Company. They're a company I've worked with for a good 4 years now, both as an actor and as a youth arts workshop facilitator. But our founding member and current artistic director, Nasser Mamazia, who's done amazing work with this company over the years and really served the community here and the young people who, many of whom have worked with us and then gone on to go to drama schools. Many of the professional actors we work with actually have come through our doors as youngsters. So I'm very, very pleased to be taking on the mantle and running the company. But I'll also be doing, you know, bits of theatre work here and there. The exciting stuff we've got planned for next year, though, is a bit of a Shakespeare production around the corner in the summer. And I've been bitten by the writing bug. This pantomime's been my first play, but I've just finished, and we're having a read-through tomorrow night, my first educational schools play. It's a very hot topic at the moment. It's all about responsible use of the internet and privacy and social media, and it all sounds very serious, but it's a bit fun and silly. yes, and we haven't got a name yet, but we're planning to tour that in the autumn of 2015. So I will also be directing that with my partner, another great director, Michelle Jackson. So that's all in the pipeline, well, yeah, so lots of stuff planned. And then, of course, we'll have another panto to write because we've set the mould now, so that will start in January too.
Has to be done. Well, we look forward to that. If you do want more information, tristanpate.co.uk, TristanPate.co.uk, and you can find out all about what this man is up to. And you never know, you might be passing through Wolverhampton again, as you have done recently. And let's face it, Banbury's not too far to come along and see your Robin Hood over in January, is it, either?
You're right. Well, of course, you must support your local theatres. So go and see the Grand and the Arena productions, you know, in December. And then if you just want a little bit of something a bit different, a little bit extra, your panto thirst has not been entirely quenched, come on down to Banbury and we'll look after you.
Well, so you're not that far away from that big shopping place as well. So maybe book your tickets and sort it all out.
Oh, Bits the Village you're talking about. Yes, we are very close to that. Get some cut-price top designer brand. That's
a good idea. Yeah, so January sales and a panto. Sounds like a plan to me.
Well, they can wear what they've bought, can't they, if they go to an evening performance.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a very strict dress code. Only designer labels.
I'm sure that's not the case, otherwise they wouldn't let you in. But there we go. Tristan.
It would hardly be in the spirit of Robin Hood, would it?
Anyway. It wouldn't really. But Robin Hood, down there at the Mill Arts Centre, pop along and see that one if you can get down that way. And I'm sure, Tristan, you're going to do a fantastic job, but do break a leg as required, OK?
Thank you, Jason. You're very sweet. Thanks for talking to me.
No problem. Have a good Christmas. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, that's your lot from us this week.
Yes, and it has been a lot as well.
It's been a busy show. We like it that way. But thank you for joining us. We look forward to you being back with us for episode 286 next week and ever closer to Christmas.
Is
next week the show before the Christmas show? It is.
I think it is.
Yeah, and then we've got the quiz over Christmas in the middle of Christmas for New Year.
It's all exciting.
It is, isn't
it? I like being my point scorer.
Quiz. We'll have you as scoring in the quiz again. That'll be great. But that's all on the way. We look forward to seeing you soon. So, ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.